Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. I am joined here today by a Duke truther.
Oh, that's how it's starting. That's crazy. Oh,
Miss Candace, how you doing?
I'm good. I thought you were going to introduce me as someone who got it right and, like, you know, you wanted to take a second to apologize on your fans' behalf. Because they had so much doubt in me when I was really feeling Duke. And, you know, they've never said sorry since. So.
Well, you know what? Let's start right there. Mm-hmm. I brought you on a pod. I think it was last year, right? Last year. Yes. And we was like, I was like, Candace, give us a surprise team in the ACC. Who you think is going to surprise everybody?
Yeah.
And you said Duke. And everybody in our chat lost their mind.
Lit me up.
Lit you
like
up.
Like a Christmas tree.
They was like, get this woman back in the kitchen. Sandwiches need to be made. Drinks need to be fixed.
What is she talking about? Like, Duke? Like, that's the energy.
A lot of massage was going on. Yeah. And as the season went on, I kept saying, dog, I think Candace was right. I think Duke is a good football team.
9 wins later, you know. Okay. ACC Coach of the Year, Mike Elko.
Right.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And then you turn back around this year.
Hello.
And they haven't even taken a step back. I was like, well, last year was cute.
Right.
But they come back this year, and I think they're better.
Pop Clemson in the mouth, have a sound defense, one of the best defenses in the nation. Whoever would say that about Duke football?
Right.
Yeah, and had a quarterback before injury who was on his track, had things kept going right for a Heisman conversation.
Yeah, had he not got hurt against Notre Dame, which they should have won that game also.
Should have won that game.
Oh, my God.
Two plays away, you know? It always comes down to that.
So let's start right here. Let's start there then. Let's start with what did you see last year that made you – because you said they had talent, and I was like, but you said they had talent. So what did you see in the beginning that made you feel like Duke was on the rise with Elko?
Fair. Even before last year, right? I've covered Duke when the Cutcliffe era was real, like towards the end of the Cutcliffe era. And so you saw talent, but the X's and O's weren't quite adding up. And so you just saw players who had potential. You had players go to the league off Cutcliffe's roster, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So I was like, you know, just because they're not winning games doesn't mean they're not good. Maybe there needs to be a program shift. Because, you know, coaches get older. Sometimes the game gets past you and things like that. You can't acknowledge it. But Nina King came in and said, hey, you know, I'm not going to fire you, but maybe we should explore other opportunities. Mm-hmm. You bring in Mike Elko, who is from the SEC. Very excited. He worked at Wake Forest. He understands the recruiting trail that is a Duke-esque school. You got to be smart and you got to know some ball and I have to be able to coach you. I feel like he was just the best person for that. And you just give confidence to kids who are not only smart, but also know how to do ball. That's a recipe for success. And so I just felt it in my spirit. And I'm happy to be right. Because I ain't right about a lot. I ain't going to sit here and tell you I know every X and O and every play and every scare. I'm not that girl.
Right.
So I can tell you what I see emotionally. I can give you an eye test. I can give you just off the strength of a woman's intuition. And I just knew.
Right. That was a great call by you. And and now this is something I heard in the background of what's going on at Duke. I heard that they put a pretty nice collective together to actually retain their players. Can you speak on any of that?
You know, Duke is there's rich schools, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's wealthy schools.
Right.
Duke is a part of the wealthy collective. So they find ways to, you know, there's certain calls you have to make, right?
Right.
In order to get certain things put in place. And if anything, not only is a collective about the kids, it's also about Mike Elko. Because now you're trying to keep in a really good coach who is going to be offers off the page. Now you got Texas A&M not having the season that they want. And who was he under when he was there? Jimbo, he was defensive coordinator. So everyone's trying to bring him back home. That's rumors. Right. So we'll see if the Duke Collective is mainly larger for basketball, actually figures out this Wallace Wade situation and pays the man to stay. We'll see.
Okay, that's interesting.
And so, that the faraway land that is North Carolina, because we know down in FSU, Florida territory, y'all act like we don't know ball up here, and that's fine.
We're going to get to some of that, because I think there's a chance that y'all got a top five team in them Carolinas, to be honest with you.
I think so.
But I'm going to get to that on our part two. We're not going to get into talking about North Carolina quite yet, but we are going to talk about focus. This is just a Duke preview.
Love it. So
tell me this. Mm-hmm. What makes Duke good?
Duke is just very – they play to their strengths, right? They don't try to do too much. They don't try to be overplay their parts. Everyone, you know, talking about the defensive line down to your secondary, you talk about, you know, their offense isn't the most high flying, give you, you know, high air raid offense. They're just going to give you the basics, but they're going to execute the basics very well. Kind of like Stephen Curry, right? Like, he's not, besides his circus shots,
right,
does the same thing very well over and over again. And I think that's what makes Duke so special. They're not going to give you like extremely fly trick plays, but damn it, if they're not going to give you the most basic, keep pushing you down the field and hopefully like break your will. I think that's what really makes Duke special, is they just know how to do the very fundamental things well.
Well, you know, that's one thing that shows up on them with tape. When I do watch them play games, they tackle very well. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you throw the ball for 10 yards, you get stopped for 10 yards. If you throw the ball for 5 yards, you get stopped for 5 yards. Exactly. It's like there is no space on the football field with Duke. And that is great coaching, but that's also a great scheme.
Yeah.
And how they – and what that does, I think, to especially in college, that wears a college football team down throughout four quarters, because now I have to execute at a very high level consistently, because this team would not allow a big play.
Yeah.
And I think – so the first game when they played Clemson, we all kind of came away from that game. We said, well, this is more about Clemson not having good wide receivers.
Sure.
That's why they was able to lock down these on the back end.
Yeah.
But then when Florida State played Clemson, I was like, well, damn, that's kind of weird, because now these Clemson wide receivers are all really good all of a sudden. So is Duke back end that good? Like,
I personally think like all of those guys in the secondary certainly are, they thrive off being the underdogs, and they want to like shut everybody up. And so being locked down defenders, of course, everyone, they get one couple plays that burn you. But what's so great about them is they're very forgettable. Like, they do not hang their hats on like one, two bad plays. They lock it in. So like, yeah, they might mess up for one good route, give you about 15, 20. Not going to happen twice. It's just not going to happen with that group.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that to be
But I think that's what makes Duke, like, I mean, they are smart. They go to Duke. So it ain't like they Podunk University taking basket weaving and rock climbing. So like they are a very smart crew.
Okay. So what's been your impressions of FSU this year?
Do we have the time? No, just kidding. Everyone got mad at me when I said Jordan Travis. You know, I had to be nicer to Jordan because everyone was in their feels. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say the same thing so I don't get fined. Jordan Travis for Heisman. Like, just give him the Heisman. See what we got to do. I think that FSU probably is the most athletically talented, athletically gifted program in the country. Me personally, I feel like they have all the horses in the stable. I feel like they have all the good weapons, all the special arsenal, like in the back. Like, you want them to run well? Gotcha. You need a good receiver? Cool. You need Johnny Wilson to, like, you know, do something insane? Great. Basic. He struggles with the basics, but he can do the insane ones pretty good, right?
Right.
Oh, let's talk about the defensive line. You need Jared Verse, Fabian Lovett, all the things. Like, yeah. Look, we got that. And don't worry about secondary. We can lock it down too. You're not going to score much. So right. I think it's just everywhere you look. But more importantly than that, they have a maturity about them that I feel like they haven't had in past years, where they're able to handle like the big moments, which is something like really I never thought I'd see the day in Mike Norvell's era where you can do that. So credit to him for being able to like contain all the excitement of being the program you finally thought you and probably were supposed to be,
right,
and not letting them get too high on it and still being able to maintain like really tough matchups, because they've had their challenges. They've had people, you know, test their gangster, but they've been able to succeed, which is, you know, kudos to them for that.
Yeah, Mike deserves a lot of credit because he's really grown up on the job.
Yeah.
You know, Like a lot of people say, Sam, you wasn't a big believer, which is true. I was not, you know. You lose a couple games the way he lost a couple games. I was like, I don't know if we can turn this ship around. But
yeah,
but I will say.
Have you done, wait, sorry to cut you off, but have you done a like, sorry, Norville spaces yet?
I told everybody that if they win the ACC, I will fire up a keep Mike Norville space forever. I will do that. They must win the ACC.
Okay.
That's all I, because I mean, to. Because to me, to
you got to invite him on too.
Well, I will send him a DM. I seriously doubt he'll answer it, but you know, maybe everybody I can tag him and he'll just jump in. They say he wanted to jump in the last one, so.
Yeah. So I'm sure he listened off the burner. I just hope you know that he definitely was in there on the burner.
Yeah, I thought that was so funny. When people told me that. I was like, wow, I was like, he shouldn't care. I'm a troll. Do not listen to me.
You never knew how much power you had. I do agree, though, you should definitely have a say or something. Sorry, Mike Norvell, Twitter space or something up to that effect.
Yeah, we'll do a keep Mike Norvell forever space.
Something. Yeah. Do you feel national championship energy?
You know, it's okay. So it's weird for me because when a team in the South has a national championship team, it kind of jumps off the screen every week. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. When they are tested in big games, it shows up like big. Like I remember before Alabama like ascended to where they got to, they played Georgia in that big time matchup. It was like Georgia's gonna have like this big blackout, this big correlation going on with Georgia. They had AJ Green and all these guys, and then Bama like beat them like 42 to like 6. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, and Georgia's had moments where you're like, okay. You see it like this is the best team in the country, and you saw it. So a lot of teams in the South, it identifies itself pretty early with a lot of high draft picks and stuff like that. You see the recruiting classes in the past that you'd be like, okay, that's a one class, that's a two class, a three class. So you see the domination coming. In the Porter era is really different because I think FSU is still trying to fit the pieces right now. So we're not seeing the total domination that we want to see or that I would like to see from a national championship team. I think it's a good team.
Yeah.
I think it's a top five, top 10 team easily. I don't know where they rank it though. Like when I keep telling people this, like when I kind of watch the way North Carolina kind of disassemble teams as games go on, like I mark that. I'm like, that's kind of, let me take it. That's interesting how they just kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like teams come out and play really, really hard, and then they just kind of execute, and then next thing you know, they're up by 30 points going into the fourth. And you're like, okay, that's interesting. Okay. So and then the way Washington has kind of been, like they kind of stranglehold.
Let me tell you, that quarterback got the spirit on him. Yeah. I don't know if anybody gonna tell, he got a pair of warriors.
Yeah. So the way they go about their business is it always looks crisp and like succinct.
So you're still not satisfied, basically, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not satisfied. I just think it's still some moving pieces with FSU. Like, I think the offensive line is kind of holding them back a little bit.
Okay.
So I think once the offensive line really like gels and get it together and they're able to run counter the way they like to run counter, I do think they can take that next leap. I'm still kind of iffy. Like, I'm like, you know, then Jordan does some things. He's throwing out a lot of, you know, 50-50 balls, which is, that's fine. That's great. But then, like, getting back to Duke, when you play this team like Duke, you do got to execute. Like, you can't continually go three and out against them because Echo does this thing where it's like the game gets short as hell. It's like an hour into the game, you're in the fourth quarter. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then it's 7-6 or it's 10-7.
Facts. And he's like, and even giving Duke an inch or letting them feel like they're still in that bad boy is all that they need, right? Because they're like, you know, our kicker ain't giving it to us, so we're gonna have to do it on our ground. So we're gonna get Jordan Waters to get in that bad boy, or Riley Leonard, or whoever gonna be the quarterback. So we're gonna make it work with our feet. We can't do it by that. We're gonna get some turnovers from our defense and really give ourselves great field position. So I 100% understand that.
Yeah, so it's gonna be odd because FSU goes, they're very like high ceiling offense where they score very, very fast. They don't, it's like they haven't hit that level where they can get into like a 4-minute offense and just consistently get first down after first down after first down. They're real big play dependent right now.
Yeah.
So this game is going to be interesting because when they play Clemson kind of took away a lot of the big plays and that became a game that went into overtime. It's going to be different because you're at home, so I think you can ride some momentum a little bit. But with Duke, I don't think the big play is going to be there. I think you're going to have to matriculate the ball down the field.
Yeah.
Which is why I think this is going to be a big game for Bell, the tight end. I think he's going to have a really big game. If for them to win, Bell must have a big game, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to get a lot of Keon Coleman dunking on somebody 60 yards down the field. Maybe.
I don't
maybe
know. That Joker different. I'm like, where you been at? Where you been hiding? Because God almighty.
That's man, I'll tell you something though. Yeah. A little thing about his recruitment was it was coming down to Ole Miss and FSU. You know, he wanted to catch more passes. And when he first visited FSU, you know, they wasn't kind of really selling him a lot on the things that he wanted to hear because he was like, man, you know, I'm not coming there to be there for 2-3 years, I'm coming there for 1 year. And I'm going to the league, so how is that going to be showcased? It, you know,
yeah.
And they almost missed out on him with some of the stuff they were saying. But I think that Jordan Travis being the starting quarterback was a big selling point because he's like, okay, I got a veteran quarterback. It's a pretty good offense. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get enough touches. So, and to be honest with you, that is a defining recruitment for Mike Norvell because I really do think that he's been worth 2 games already.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? God.
Yeah.
So
1,000% in this. And I'm like, damn, can't were you looking at North Carolina? Because if him and Drake had been together,
y'all don't need nothing else over there. Y'all don't need nothing else over there.
The way we making some sugar out of ish, we are figuring it out. I tell you that. Yeah, I'm like,
y'all got Tez now. Man, the way y'all disassembled Miami was just like, oh my God.
I can't decide if it's Miami. We're
going to get to the ACC thing, but Miami's good. I'm not saying they're good, like they're top five good enough. I'm saying like you have to beat them. They're not like they don't roll over anymore.
They're
like,
better than what they showed, I think, on Saturday. Yeah, which I don't know.
Well, y'all did that. Y'all did that to them.
I don't know. I'm trying. Don't let me get excited. I'm not. Okay. I'm very mellow.
I'm a little bullish on North Carolina, but anyway, let's get back to FSU. So, give me some players to watch from Duke.
Oh my gosh. Offensively, definitely not the quarterback because Henry is not the guy. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Really?
No. Henry does he's a great game manager. We talk about game managers.
So do you think Henry's going to play and not Leonard?
Why would you? Okay. We're here. Let's have an honest conversation. Why would you play Riley Leonard first game back and let it be Florida State in Tallahassee?
See, I wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play him. That's me. I would go in there. Well, what I think Elko's going to do, he's going to go in there. If you got the true freshman guy, Henry. Henry got pretty good legs on him. I think he's going to run the ball a lot. And I think what we didn't see with Henry last week was because of the rain. Like, once they got those turnovers, Duke was kind of like, we ain't got to show a whole lot. So that whole script that they had planned for him, they were like, we ain't got to do this. Because North Carolina cannot move the football. It's MJ Moore's first start. And I think MJ Moore is going to be good eventually.
Yes.
I do.
Yes,
I think he's going to be good eventually. Yeah. But it was like, it's his first start. They're in the rain.
Yeah,
we already up 14-7. I think it was like 14-0, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They got up pretty quick. And then once he got there, he was like, man, we ain't got to do nothing special. We just get in. We don't have to show FSU none of our stuff we're going to do with Henry. So I think this week they're going to run him a lot, like a lot of quarterback runs early in the game. So it's going to be and what's weird about Duke actually has like 2 or 3 NFL prospects on the offensive line, and they got 2 or 3 NFL prospects on the defensive line.
Yeah.
Which I know that might surprise people. But
listen, Graham Barton on the offensive line he's one of them. So I think he's certainly someone to watch. And, you know, he helps Jordan Waters, and you also help, you know, Jacquez Moore, two running backs that are pretty solid. It's the power of the Jays, because I tell you what, everybody got a J name over there at Duke. Jalen, Jacquez, Jeremiah. Like, Jalen Calhoun is another one to look out for. He's a great receiver. Jeremiah Halsey, he does his thing. But then when you look at defensively, Dwayne Carter, keep his name. That's going to be the guy that hears his name called. I don't know what round, but he's certainly going to be there. Trey Freeman is really good. Peebles is good. And I just think overall, they just, they're very sound and they play on one accord, and that's what you want out of a defensive line. But you could just tell they're brothers, right? There are certain guys who know how to play together. Like at the end of the day,
right,
someone I have to go out and run out with, like, nah, these jokers, they will die about each other, which is, like, you know, I guess what you want of a football program. So they're doing that.
Okay. So who do you think wins?
You know,
who you got winning?
If Riley was playing.
You know what? Hold on. Let me stop.
All right. Let me start here.
The coaching matchup. Because this is something that's interesting too.
Yeah.
So Adam Fuller comes off of the Mike Elko tree.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Johns comes off of the Mike Norvell offensive tree.
Mm-hmm.
So these staffs have like some intersection, interlocking things going on there.
Sure.
Who do you think that favors in this big matchup?
I definitely think that it favors Elko because it's easier for someone who's already, I feel, is better to also lean into someone who knows the other side and be like, hey, what does he need to do and execute that way? Mm-hmm. Versus Mike Norvell, who, like, yeah, you could tell, you know, the other guy could tell what Elko's plan is, but if you can't actually like decipher it a little bit as quickly, I don't think it is the same sort of advantage. So I would give it to Elko for sure.
Okay. All right.
I think Elko's a really good. He's up there for me. Like,
yeah, I mean, Elko. I mean, he is really good, man. He is really good. It's surprising how good he is. But yeah. And the Kevin Johns thing is interesting because even though Duke hasn't scored a lot of points, they do move the football.
Yeah,
so they're not explosive. But they do move the football.
They test your gangster. I'm trying to tell you, like, how are you still on the field offense, right? Like, how is it 3rd and 6 and you just were able to convert just enough where this drive was like 8 minutes on for what reason? And sometimes the score just damn 3 points, but it took all that time away.
Yeah, it's like they would have a 7-minute drive for like, they would have a 10-minute drive for 3 points.
And it will go
into halftime. And then then they will get the ball back. And they'll have another seven-minute drive for another seven. Then it's like 10-7, 10-3. And you're going into the fourth quarter. You're like, man, we got to hear them get something.
And then
going.
Your offense gets a 3 and out. And you're like, all right, what are we doing? What are we doing here? I think if Riley was starting healthy, Duke would give a run for the money. But it's hard to play in Duke. And I think it's hard for this team right now, as good as FSU is, to really compete with that. And I think any good team just is not going to be able to hold a candle to these playmakers, if I'm being honest.
So you got?
I got FSU.
What's your score prediction?
Honestly, I think it's going to be like 21-17. I think it's gonna be a close one. I think it's gonna come down to a final drive by Jordan Travis.
Yeah, I had it at, I got us at 24-17.
Look at that. Look at this.
24-17. I think they're gonna break Norvell's 30-game point streak.
Yes, definitely. They're not scoring 30, not against this Duke defense. Hell no.
Yeah,
I would be surprised.
And the main reason I say this because if you're Norvell, I know you want to be quick strike. I understand that part of it. But by being quick strike in this game, if you miss any of those, if you only go 40% on those 50-50 balls, and they might go for touchdowns, and that's only 21 points, that means Duke's going to have a lot of possessions. And if they get a lot of possessions, you're not going to get a lot of possessions. So it's kind of, right. It's one of those things where you kind of got to say, hey, let's just get one or two first down before you start going quick strike. So I do think the matchup between Kevin Johns and Adam Fuller is going to be interesting because Elko knows that defense and he knows it inside and out. And it kind of concerns me what the self-scouting might be going on right there. So
out of all the playmakers, who needs to have the biggest game?
Well, for me, it got to be Bell. Because I do think they're going to do a good job of confusing Jordan Travis and taking away those throws on the outside. So, and he doesn't, you know, people get mad when I say that, but he's not a great read of the defense. You know what I'm saying? So he will start patting the football. So it's going to be about, and I think Norvell's going to end up scheming a lot of stuff in the middle of the field for Bell and scheming him, you know, some of those little wheel routes and things like that. But it seems like most of the ACC has basically decided they're not going to allow FSU to run wheel routes anymore. Like,
this is a terrible defense not to be able to read, Sam.
I know, and that's why I'm concerned, because I'm like, well, yeah,
they gonna follow that boy's ass.
Well, they play so much zone, you know, yeah. They play so much zone on the back end, and yes. Then it's like Duke's a very confusing defense because they don't run the same plays twice. They don't. They kind of mix it up.
Them jokers know how to read a play, but their playbook is probably insane. And they know it front to back. You know what I mean? And they go to class. Like yeah. Duke is a different team. It's a different year for them, right? Yeah,
they kind of got that Stanford thing going on back with the Andrew Luck days.
100%. God knows.
So let me ask you about this then. What type of trajectory do you think Duke is on? If they can keep, they got to keep Elko. Do you think they keep him?
Would I like them to keep him? Absolutely. I think he's there. They just signed an extension, but what does that mean in the world of college sports these days? Right. I personally feel like he's there as long as Riley's there. And then it depends on how he feels or is high on Henry.
Right.
If he feels like there's not a lot of problem. And then, you know, defensively, who are you recruiting, right? Because after this class, you know, of course you're going to have maybe the next one be solid, but there's just something special about Dwayne Carter and those guys, and they've been waiting a long time to have a really good year. And so I don't know if you want to put yourself through like that rebuilding stage of sort of like that Dave Clawson where you actually have to grow and, mm-hmm. you know, coach these guys. And when strike while the iron's hot. While you know some really good jobs are about to become open for a lot of great SEC programs, I know that's probably where you want to end back up at a head position role at that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves, but I hate that because that's just the nature of the beast, right? Yeah. In the world that we live in.
Yeah, I don't think nobody's going to – I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement this year.
Really?
The only thing that I think is going to create any type of movement – because my friend was asking about this, like, what big jobs do I think would come open? And I told him, I say, I would take a look at the USC job. I think there's a chance Lincoln goes to the NFL. I do think there's a chance.
Why? Yeah. Bro, because, you can't come. Okay, go
well,
ahead.
Well, the reason why I say that is because.
NFL loves a mediocre white man, so you right.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, that's one part of it. Okay. They brought Cliff Kingsbury in there as an analyst, right?
They drank that Kool-Aid right on up.
Mm-hmm. Right? So he's sitting there right there. So he'll probably take the head coaching job at USC. Just makes sense to me, right?
So, not because it's good, but right. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, and I look at the Cowboys, and Jerry has always been enamored with Lincoln Riley. He loves Lincoln Riley. Wow. And I really think Mike McCarthy's about to get his ass fired this year. That's happening. Yes.
For sure.
So I think there's a strong chance Lincoln gets that call and goes to the Cowboys.
Can you imagine those grown men trying to listen to Lincoln Riley in Dallas?
And I just think he's tired of the college game, too. I think because he doesn't look into it this year to me.
Mm.
And that offense just looks wacky. It's never looked like that. It's always had a rhyme and a reason for everything it does. And this year is just four verts, running back, go to the wide side of the field.
Yeah.
Caleb, run left, run right, throw it back behind your body 7 yards. It just looks weird at USC right now.
He's buy $15 million homes to be up out of there? Y'all, that's a different kind of living.
That's the only job I could see coming open.
Okay.
And so if that job came open, then I think a lot of dominoes could fall. Because then there is a chance you could get James Franklin at USC. And that means the Penn State job will come open. I could see Elko at a Penn State type job. That's the type of job
You don't think Jimbo's getting fired? It's a lot of money. Plus, it's a lot of money to buy out Duke. Plus, a lot of money to bring him.
I would fire Jimbo. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they are because there's no clear person to go hire. Like, who do you go hire?
Elko.
I mean, you could go hire Elko, but I think they want offense there.
That's fair.
Like, they made a mistake by firing Kevin Sumlin the way they did, but they want to go back to that. They want to go back.
But with that 12th man and that defensive energy reminds me of the Seattle Seahawks. I feel like maybe at first you get the defense together and then you figure out how to bring the offense in that bad boy.
Yeah, that makes sense too. And then Michigan State's open.
Yeah.
You're going to hire Urban Meyer. Watch this. Watch they hire Urban Meyer.
I hope to God not. But Mel, what? You want to talk about blowing it? Don't get me mad. Go ahead, wrap the show up before I get the cussing.
Okay. Well, that is the first part of me and Candace's conversation on the Listen Up podcast about the Duke and FSU preview. I got FSU winning the game 24-7, I think I said.
Mm-hmm.
24-17.
I said 21-17.
Yeah, so that's what I got. And That's Listen Up Podcast for the first half. I'll be back. We'll have the other half out. I'm thinking Monday or Tuesday for you good people. But thank you, Candace. I'll see you on the other side.
No doubt.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yeah. Big break.